Hello friends, in continuity over the respective custom clearance procedures, we now go to the fourth chapter in this process of custom clearance. And now this chapter involves the export clearance. We saw previously import clearance, applicability of duties, facilitations, etc., etc. Now we specifically go to the export clearance, that is chapter number 7 of import export management regulatory features. The special emphasis in this chapter would be the export promotion schemes and all benefits available to the exporters. Here first let us look at the export clearance procedures. Just like we had the import clearance procedures, the export clearance procedures are also similar up to a certain extent of filing of the integrated declaration. So I will rush through this procedure on a fast track basis because they are same as what we have done in detail for import procedures. All goods can be exported as per ITC harmonized system or any other law for the time being in force as given to you in chapter number 1. Allied Acts. Exports are subject to any prohibition under Section 11 of the Customs Act 1962 or any other law for the time being in force, as explained to you before. The prohibition can be either absolute or conditional as per the provisions of the respective laws, same already explained before. For export of goods, every custom broker or exporter is required to file a shipping bill under the self-assessment scheme, that is by filing the integrated declaration. And again, clearance is allowed through ICEGATE and shipping bill is filed online through the exporters or custom brokers computer system by filing the integrated declaration. All calculations and applicable rate of exchange are done by the system itself. The assessment may also be done directly by the system as already explained for import. Same thing is applicable over here export also without any human interaction. If any duty is required to be paid, TR6 challan for duty payment is generated online and duty payment can be done on the basis of e-payment as in the import. Here again, all export goods are required to be examined for verification of correctness of description giving on the shipping bill. Procedure same. Custom officer may also check and verify details required under the duty drawback or export promotion schemes. Now, if there is any special requirement to be looked into at the time of verification or customs examination, they will be looked into. And again, after completion of the examination of the goods, the custom officer enters the report in the system and then gives a let export order, LEO, online on the computer system itself. Same procedure. Now, here we have got certain export promotion schemes in the form of duty credits being granted under ROCTL, that is, I've explained to you in the foreign trade policy, is granting two procedures, ROCTL and ROTTEP, both. And here, under rebate of state and central levies and taxes is granted to support the textile sector for garments and made-ups. And rebate is granted in the form of duty credits. Again, for ROTTEP also, remission of duty and taxes on exported products is granted in lieu of remission of any duties or taxes or levies chargeable on any material used in the manufacture or processing of goods. And this remission is again granted in the form of duty credits. And the duty credit scripts which are granted to the exporters and any goods which are imported against these duty credits without payment of duty in cash. They are freely transferable. That means they can be sold easily without any hindrance by the exporters. There is an electronic duty ledger based on certain regulations known as Electronic Duty Credit Ledger Regulations. This is a very recent regulation of 2021. These regulations are applicable to schemes under RODTEP and ROSTEL. The claim of duty credit under the scheme is made by an exporter in the shipping bill or bill of export itself by providing a specific appropriate declaration at the item level as far as the integrated declaration is concerned. Once the claim is allowed, after export is completed, a scroll for duty credit will be generated by the proper officer in the customs automated system, and electronic script for duty credit for that scheme is reflected in the ledger of the exporter, and this can be used for payment of customs duties for import of any goods. They can also be transferred to other importers if not utilized by the exporter. Next under this particular scheme is a duty drawback scheme. The duty drawback scheme grants relief of customs duty suffered on the inputs used in the manufacture of export product to the exporters. That means the exported goods, if it is having any imported component, all duties paid on that imported component has got to be returned back to the exporter in the form of duty drawback. Number one, all GST paid for locally procured goods by the exporter for production of goods which have been exported are required to be given back in the form of input tax credit, not against duty drawback. Under this scheme, an exporter can opt for all industry rate, that is AIR of duty drawback scheme, or brand rate or special brand rate scheme of duty drawback in terms of Section 75 of Customs Act 1962. Any goods which is listed in the all industry rate of duty drawback, automatically the percentage mentioned in the schedule is granted to the exporter. Duty drawback facility on re-export of duty paid goods is also available for exporters. Mind you, this is not for goods which have been kept in a custom bonded warehouse, but goods which were imported earlier on which duty has been paid and they are being re-exported out. Then duty drawback is paid based on the duty paid bill of entry, subject to condition that identification and prescribed procedure is required to be followed to ensure, number one, that these are the same goods which were imported as mentioned in the bill of entry and on which duty has actually been paid. The duty drawback claim scrutiny, sanction and payment by the Customs Department is all done through the ICES. And nowadays, within 72 hours from the date of electronic filing of the export general manifest by the shipping company after the ship has sailed with the goods loaded on board, the exporter gets back the duties in the form of duty drawback within 72 hours in his account bank account which he has registered with the customs department under the primary registration of AD code bank registration. All industry rates of duty drawback for a large number of export products are notified every year by the government at the time of presenting a finance bill. After an assessment of the average incidence of customs duties. And this facility is generally availed by exporters as no proof of actual duty is suffered or inputs is required to be produced to the government. Goods listed out in the AIR rates have been declared as a percentage of ad valorem or on quantity basis. Goods exported, drawback given. AR may be fixed as percentage of FOB price of export or specific quantity rates. But of course, this drawback is having a cap that maximum drawback can be up to this amount. In case goods are being sold at a higher value on a larger profit margin, then there's a cap placed on the drawback. Such caps are imposed in most cases to obviate the possibility of misuse of this duty drawback scheme. Brand rate of duty drawback can also be availed in respect of export products where all industry rate of duty drawback is not notified. That means exporter feels that he has paid some customs duty. He has used some imported components on the goods which he is exporting. And that particular item of export is not reflected in all industry rate of duty drawback. Then he can file a brand rate fixation claim. Again, there is another brand rate, that is a special brand rate scheme. When the all industry rate of duty drawback, which is already declared in the AIR rate, is considered by the exporter to be insufficient to fully neutralize his incidence of duties suffered on the inputs which have been utilized in the production or manufacturing of the export product. Here, the exporter has got to prove that the AIR industry rate is hardly 75% or less than 75% of the actual incidence of duty, customs duty, which has been suffered by him on account of imported components. So there he will make an application under the special brand rate scheme. The exporter makes an application giving all the manufacturing details of the raw material components used in export production with actual incidence of duties. Drawback department checks and then fixes the drawback amount for that branded product only. It is not a general rate. It is not an all industry rate. It's only that manufacturer who has filed an application under brand rate scheme or special brand rate scheme. This rate would be applicable only to his branded product. And this rate will not be applicable to similar products of other manufactured branded products. If other manufactured branded products, those manufacturers will have to file a claim separately. In case of re-export of the goods, drawback is available on re-export of goods under Section 74. And they can also be claimed by exporter in case of goods which were earlier imported on payment of duty and are later re-exported within a specified period. Customs duty paid at the time of import of the goods with certain cuts are given as duty drawback at the time of export of the goods. Normally, if the goods are exported within 6 months, 98% of the duty amount is refunded, 2% is adjusted as administrative costs. Of course, these all procedures are subject to certain conditions, which includes identification of export goods with those imported on which duty payment and usage criteria is applicable. If they are not put into use, 98% of duty is given as drawback. If they have been put in use beyond 6 months, etc., or put in use at any time, then a reduced drawback is granted based on the extent of usage of that particular re-exported product. Again, there is a subjective conditions under Section 76 of the drawback rules. If the export payment has not been realized, now there are two drawback rules, duty drawback rules. And as per these rules, if the export payment has not been realized by the exporter in India within the period allowed under FEMA, Foreign Exchange Management Act, the drawback amount paid to the exporter will be recovered back with interest by the Customs Drawback Department. Why? Because Customs will say export procedure is not completed if payment in foreign exchange has not been received. Subsequently, if the exporter produces evidence that export realization within 1 year from the date of recovery of the drawback amount, the amount of drawback so recovered with interest shall be repaid to him. That means if drawback department has recovered the goods, exporter has given back the material money to drawback department with interest, then within 1 year, if he gives proof that yes, payment has been received, then customs department will repay that amount with applicable interest up to the date of payment. Again, if the exporter finds that the amount of drawback paid to him is less than what he is entitled to, he may file a supplementary claim for drawback within 3 months. This can be applicable in terms of special branded scheme and branded scheme also. If the amount of drawback and interest has been paid in excess or erroneously, the exporter has to repay the amount to the customs. There is always checks and balances available for the customs department. When we look at the exact custom clearance procedures, they are all similar to the import procedures on a reversible fashion. First stage in import, you had a DOC or ICD or CFS destuffing and clearance procedure. Here you have got DOC, ICD, CFS stuffing procedure. In case of container cargo, the stuffing of container at the docks or ICD or CFS is done under preventive supervision. Here, the custom officer will enter the particulars of the packages actually stuffed into the container. The RFID-based bottle seal number, particulars of loading of container on board the ship, all these details will be entered into the customs ICS system. If there is a difference in the quantity number of packages stuffed in the containers, the custom officer will put a remark on the shipping bill in the system itself. And this will require to be amended for changed quantity. And such shipping bills will not be taken up for the purpose of sanction, of drawback, or any duty-free logging until it is suitably amended for the changed quantity with value amendment. In case where the full cargo cannot be stuffed into that particular container, it is left back and brought back by the exporter. In case the exporter or custom broker wishes to do any amendments on the shipping bill after completion, the same has to be done directly online itself through iSCATE system prior to export. Any change in amendment has got to be done before actual export takes place. After export, no change can be done. Required permission will be given only on the basis of the RMS parameters which have been fixed for this purpose. With respect to the export promotion schemes or the duty drawback scheme. Why? Because, you know, drawback is being paid within 72 hours. After that, if you want to do any amendment, that means you are receiving excess drawback. So it's not allowed. After permission for amendment has been granted, the custom officer may approve the amendments on the system itself. And the export will be allowed after a fresh LEO, let export order, is given by the custom officer. That is before the container is loaded on board the ship. Container can be loaded on board the ship only after LEO is granted by the custom officer online into the system. The customs officer supervising the loading of container and general cargo into the vessel may give shipped on board endorsement into the system itself. Next, we have got factory or warehouse stuffing of the container. Here, exporters are granted a single permission for stuffing their export cargo in containers at the factory or warehouse or any other place by the Commissioner of Customs to reduce the transaction cost involved in the exports. Just like importers have the facility of taking the goods container, fully loaded container, destuffing at their factory or warehouse. Here, exporters can stuff the containers at their factory or warehouse and then brought to the ICD or CFS. Of course, here the exporter has got to be registered under the GST and should be filing returns as far as IGST is concerned. The custom broker has first to take an export booking from the shipping company by giving a bond and an insurance policy for the value of the container. Why? Because he's taking possession of the container and any damage to the container will be on account of the exporter. He is then given a delivery order to collect the empty container from the yard. And then the transporter collects the empty container, takes it directly to the factory or warehouse for stuffing of the export goods. Here, the goods are stuffed into the container under the exporter's supervision as per the export invoice, and then the container is sealed with the RFID-based one-time lock or bottle seal with all details mentioned on the invoice. That is the bottle seal number, date and time of affixing those details. Invoice copy is sent to the custom broker who uploads this and files the shipping bill. It comes online by the internet. And one copy is given to the transporter so that the GST officers don't stop him en route. And subsequently, the assessment is completed by the system on the basis of uploaded document by the custom broker. Before sealing the container, the exporter feeds the exporter's data, such as IC number, GSTIN number, description of the goods, invoice number, name of the authorized signatory, in the electronic seal. Mind you, it is an RFID-based electronic seal. So these particulars are mentioned on the seal itself. On receipt of the container at the ICD or CFS or dogs. If the RFID bottle seal one-time lock is intact, the container number and seal number matches with the export invoice, let export order is granted by the customs officer immediately. Of course, merchant exporters have also been granted this AP scheme benefits. And here, under the scheme of DFI and EPCG, both these I have explained to you in the foreign trade policy. Why these schemes are subject to completion of an export obligation, and therefore the particulars are required to be mentioned on the shipping bill. In case of service providers, the export obligation is required to be fulfilled by earning free foreign exchange through rendering the service. And there's a bond with or without bank guarantee, which has got to be filed with the customs authority prior to import of the goods. In case certain goods which have been imported under DFI schemes or EPCG schemes. As far as DFI scheme is concerned, an advance authorization under the duty-free import authorization scheme. These are issued to manufacturer exporters or merchant exporter tied to a supporting manufacturer for physical exports, intermediate supplies, and also deemed exports. That means where goods are supplied to a World Bank project in India. Advance authorization also issued on the basis of annual requirement for exports or for supplies for deemed exports. They can also be issued to subcontractors in respect of supplies of goods to specified projects, subject to condition, provided the name of such subcontractor appears on the main contract. Again, this is for all turnkey projects for import or export. There are conditions attached to this particular scheme, and the authorization specifies the value, quantity of the export product to be exported against the respective scheme. The advance authorization is normally valid for 12 months for making imports and 18 months for export obligation fulfillment from the date of issue. Mind you, nowadays this is all coming online. It is issued by DGFT online, transferred to ICES and also to the importer-exporter. The advance authorization holder is required to fulfill the export obligation by exporting the specified quantity or value of the resultant product. And there's got to be a minimum of 15% value addition. Mind you, this 15% value addition is normally changed every year by the finance ministry at the time of the finance bill at the beginning of the year. In all such cases, bond and bank guarantee has to be filed by the advance authorization holder, given to the customs authority before the goods are imported. Duty-free import authorization schemes allows duty-free imports of raw material, components, consumables, etc., as declared in the advance authorization and permitted as per standard input-output norms, which is available with the DGFT and which is shown on the advance authorization. These are used for manufacture of the export product. Of course, after making normal allowance for wastages, etc., etc. In addition to this, fuel, oil, energy, catalysts, etc., which are consumed in the course of their use to obtain the export product, can also be allowed under this particular scheme duty-free. Standard input-output norms are notified by DGFT, and they determine the proportions of various imported inputs which are required to in the manufacture of the resultant export products. There is a special procedure involved in the clearance for DFI scheme. A DFI duty entitlement exemption certificate is issued along with the advance authorization online by DGFT. Now, this certificate has got different columns for imports and exports, and the finalization stage. At the time of import and export, against the advance authorization, entries are recorded online by the customs officer. The DEC certificate is generated online and entries are made by the customs officer. After completion of the entire export obligation and imports against that particular advance authorization, the customs officer will complete the logging, that is reconciliation of the import and export as per the advance authorization online itself, and send it to DGFT automatically through ICF. Thereafter, the DGFT authorities will issue the export obligation discharge certificate to close the advance authorization under DFI scheme. On the basis of this EO discharge certificate issued by DGFT, redemption of bond and bank guarantee is filed by the advance authorization holder with the customs. And then customs will allow redemption of the bank guarantee and bond and return it back to the importer exporter who has filed it. The next scheme is the EPCG scheme. Mind you, DFI scheme duty-free imports are for raw material, consumables, etc., etc. But EPCG means Export Promotion Capital Goods Scheme. Here, all capital goods required for the production of the resultant export product can be imported duty-free. In such cases, manufacturer exporters, merchant exporters with or without supporting manufacturer of export product, and also service providers for providing export-related services. It is also allowed for upgradation of the technology of the indigenous industry. And here, what are the benefits granted? The benefits that are granted in such cases of EPCG, import of capital goods at zero custom duty, is permitted subject to completion of export obligation equivalent to 6 times the CIF value of the imported capital goods in a period of 6 years. Now, these periods can change during every financial year and declared by the finance ministry at the time of filing of finance bill. So applicability of these changes will have to be looked into at the time of actual import of the capital goods or filing of application of capital goods. The capital goods imported are subject to actual user condition, and the imported goods cannot be transferred or sold till the fulfillment of the export obligation. Until the time of fulfilling of the entire export obligation, the capital goods cannot be transferred or sold or even discarded. When we look at the clearance procedures for such goods, an EPCG authorization is granted by DGFT. An EPCG authorization holder registers the same by executing a bond with bank guarantee or surety before clearance of the capital goods. Subsequently, installation certificate of the imported capital good has got to be produced to the customs department after installation of the machinery. To ensure proper accounting or fulfilling of export obligation, the EPCG authorization number and date should be indicated on the body of the shipping bill and invoice in case of deemed exports, as far as all subsequent exports that takes place, so that export obligation can be compared with the requirement. Export and discharge of export obligation under the EPCG scheme are entitled to other benefits which are available to the exporter, like duty neutralization schemes, duty drawback, DFI schemes, and any other reward scheme, etc., as per the terms and conditions of the respective schemes. Yes, exporter can get benefits of all the other schemes also. Why? Because this scheme is granting him benefit only for that capital goods. There is a via media scheme also available as far as EPCG scheme is concerned, and this is the post-export EPCG scheme. That is, instead of importing the capital goods without payment of duty, the manufacturer or exporter will import the capital goods with payment of custom duty. Now, under this scheme, the EPCG benefits are granted to merchant exporters after the goods are exported. Primary condition over here is that the capital goods are imported and cleared after payment of full duty. And second condition is they are used in the factory for production of export goods, not local goods. You have got to prove export goods are being produced out of this particular machinery. A duty remission computed on the basic customs duty paid is granted as duty credit scripts, similar to the previous duty credit script which I have told you, which can be used for import of any other goods. The usage pattern is similar to the prescribed for freely transferable duty credit scripts. And again, I repeat, they are electronic duty ledger scheme. The duty credit on this scheme shall be issued subject to all EPCG conditions, including non-disposable of the capital goods till the date of the last export. If it is disposed, then no such post-export EPCG scheme benefits will be allowed. Thank you.